Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There is a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. Do you know how to calculate the exact amount that you need to charge your clients in order to earn 20% profit on that project? It's simple to do if you know how. Learn how by downloading our free course, Profit for Small Firm Architects, today at entrearchitect.com/free course. My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. This is episode 226, and this week, Robert Yoon of Morfolio is back, and we're talking about successful project planning for small firm architects. This episode of Entree Architect Podcast is supported by our platform sponsors, ARCAD, the online resource delivering quality building material information, CAD details, BIM, specifications, and much more at arcat.com. FreshBooks, the cloud-based accounting software that makes running your small firm easy, fast, and secure. Spend less time on accounting and more time doing the work that you love. And Gusto. Gusto is making payroll, benefits, and HR easy for small businesses. Modern technology does the heavy lifting, so it's easy to get things right. Robert Yoon, welcome back to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thanks. Thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back. This is your third visit back here. Let me introduce you, and then and we'll get into a little bit about who you've, where you were and where you're going and all that good stuff. Robert Yoon builds tools and software. He's a partner at design agency Dixon & Moe and a co-founder of Section Cut and Monograph. He's a serial entrepreneur, a trained architect, and an expert in designing software solutions. And he's zealously productive. This is Robert's third time back here, as I mentioned, episode 133, where he shared his story and got into Section Cut and Monograph and all of the origin story of where he came from and how he got to where he is. So if you want to sort of learn more about Section Cut and the origins of Monograph and a little bit more about Dixon & Moe, the design agency, go back to episode 133. And then I invited Robert back for episode 150 to talk about how to build beautiful websites. So that's a great episode about what should be in a website and what makes a successful and effective website. So go back to episode 150 to learn about that. Today, I wanted to invite Robert back for an update, sort of get back into to what's going on. He's got an active firm over there, and he's building a couple of businesses, and Monograph is growing and evolving, and new things are happening. So I wanted to bring you back, Robert, to sort of give us an update on what's happening. So why don't you start a little, just sort of remind us of your origin story, and then give us an update on Monograph and what's going on over there.
Sure. I'll make this quick since there's a couple episodes that covered my origin story. But just so everyone can get up to speed, trained as an architect, grew up in Chicago, did my MArch and MS at University of Michigan, worked at a couple firms, both big and small, before striking out on my own to start the agency, and now really focusing on Monograph, the brand, and our new product called Monograph Dashboard.
Yeah, and Monograph Dashboard, talk about that a little bit. What is Monograph Dashboard? Because Monograph, when you first launched Monograph, Monograph was all about websites, which you're still doing. But there's a new product at Monograph. And so what's going on over there?
Yeah, so, you know, Monograph websites is still going. Very popular. We have 700-plus architects there on that platform. But along the way, we also received a lot of requests on other things that need solutions for, that are just headaches in terms of running an architectural practice. And a few of those things are better time tracking tools, better project management tools, better project planning tools in general. So that's really the inspiration of where Monograph Dashboard started. I was really listening to our early customers, just really relying back on my previous experience and now looking to solve some of those problems.
Yeah, this is a common request to Entree Architect from the community, always asking what's a reference or a recommendation for a product that can manage projects, that can plan out projects, and there up until now there really hasn't been a great solution for small firms. There's a bunch of solutions out there for large firms, and there are some non-architecture focused planning tools. But there was never really anything really for us smaller firm architects. And so when you showed me Dashboard, I'm like, whoa, Dashboard is exactly what everybody's looking for. We should talk about this on the podcast. So, why don't you get into Dashboard a little bit and what it is, how it works, and then we'll talk about project planning a little bit.
Yeah, it's fairly straightforward. We're still very young, very new, and building a lot of features. But some of the core features that we wanted to focus on early and make sure we get it right was just making time tracking simple, making sure that time tracking can be based on phases and by projects. And another big thing that I think most competitors don't have is to make sure you, as a small firm, you can switch roles fairly easy on a project. Meaning you can be a small firm and sometimes you have to wear the hat of a principal and sometimes you have to wear the hat of a designer, and to make sure that you can track accordingly on both types of roles.
Yeah, I think that's key. You know, because for our community, I'm always talking about the many hats we're all wearing, and to be able to track our time in each one of these roles, which then can also be tracked to different amounts that we're billing for that type of work. Because sometimes we're billing, if we're doing drafting work, we're billing at one price. And if we're designing, we're billing at another price. And so it's great to have a tool that we can change things around like that.
Yeah. And I think what's one of our most popular features right now that's finished and it's really early, but it's just an easy way to just visualize, well, how much of the fee is left and how much of the fee you've used. Not just numbers, but really in the visual way. And that really theoretically shouldn't be that hard, right? Like if you're logging your time and you're tracking how many hours you're working and how much of that is worth, should be really easy for me to tell you back visually how much fee you have left.
So, and I love that part of Dashboard. Before we get too deep into this, I just want to let everybody know that this is not a commercial for Monograph or Dashboard. It's just Robert showed it to me. I loved it, and I just wanted to bring Robert on here and talk about it. So I just wanted to let everybody know that this is not a commercial or a paid advertisement, but I do like it. And so that's one of the things I do like about it, Robert, is that you can budget the time and you can budget the value and you see them simultaneously on the software. So you can see where you are in terms of time and where you are in terms of budget, you know, and from multiple projects all at the same time on the same dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about, if we needed to plan out a project, You know, what are the things that we need to focus on, whether we're using a tool like Dashboard or not, and we just want to put together a, you know, a spreadsheet of some sort. What are the things that we need to be focused on in order to properly plan out a project?
Yeah, well, there's quite a lot of things to focus on, especially running a phase-based project. One of the few things that we can all do a little bit better is just really understanding the value of tracking time. I know it's really difficult, and you know there's a lot of other tools out there, and they're all very good. You can even use Excel. Those are they're fantastic options depending on the size of the firm. But just placing some value of really understanding how you as an individual and you as a small team are doing based on your time, because from there it would be quite easy to even know, are you quoting correctly? Are you profitable before you look at your bank account? Those are really simple things that I think are crucial in the early process of just setting the system up so you can track your own time appropriately.
You really can't properly plan a project without tracking your time, right?
I mean, correct. And too many architects try. Like, they skip it because it's tedious. They skip it because, honestly, I don't even like to do it myself. But these are critical things to do, or you don't have any metrics. You really have no insight into your own operations.
Yeah, as a sole practitioner, you know, there are many people think that they don't have to. You know, I'm the only guy here, so why do I need to track my time? But in order to be able to plan out your projects and to know how long things take, you have to track it. You have to be able to put that data into some sort of tool that you can go back and look at how long things took.
Right.
And that not only for planning, but for billing, you know, and to understand how much your time costs you to complete a project. So,
yeah.
Go ahead, Robert.
Oh no, I think there's ways around it. I know a few of my friends they bill basically by hour, so essentially they don't lose any value. But at the same time, it's also hard if you're not tracking by hour initially, and even then, it's hard to then gauge profitability if you're only billing for hours. A lot of other firms bill project-based fees. That's where time tracking becomes even more crucial, because you do really want to know how much your hourly worth is after a project is completed.
How important is it to have a tool that you can that can be remote, you know, that can go with you?
In modern day times, so important. Like, it's especially if you know, we were using Revit, we're using advanced 3D modeling programs. Like, you have a pretty powerful machine, but also most of us are on the go. So like, the ability to access information on your mobile devices, to access information on a tablet, is so important these days. Like, most of the principals now that I know, you're always on the go and you just can't take that desktop with you.
So once you have your time strategy figured out and you start tracking your time, what's the next thing that needs to be tracked or included in your planning?
I think the next step is really understanding how you invoice. I know a few friends are still based on phase-based invoicing, which I think is very difficult. And we do it in my firm at Dixon & Moe, where we provide a service, we build software for other companies. It's very difficult to invoice and bill on a phase-based structure. My highly recommendation to most firms is to go monthly. Figure out then percentage based on fee. It's either phase-based or hourly, but this way you can predict your monthly recurring revenue.
So get into that a little bit, because I don't really understand that. So if I'm going to do a project and the total fee is $100,000, let's say the project cost is $100,000.
Sure.
So what do you recommend in terms of how to bill to the services that for that $100,000 project?
Yeah, and keep in mind, everyone, like, I'm speaking from a perspective of designing software as a service, so there might be some differences in terms of providing architectural services. But let's say a fee of $100,000, phase one of that project might be, let's say, schematic design, and we're going to say it's going to take 3 months, and it's going to worth 30%, so $30,000. What I would do is I would tell the client, well, the way I would invoice you, it's $10,000 a month. The amount I invoice is disassociated with the task I deliver, right? Like it's still the goal is to finish the phase in 3 months, but for me to run a business, this is how we're going to invoice. And it's going to be one every first week of the month. You have net 30 to pay, and it's $10,000 each.
That's very interesting. And so you figure out your total fee, you figure out based on experience and tracking your time, how long each phase takes.
Correct.
Come up with a percentage, and then that percentage is your phase. Well, what if you don't know how long your phases are going to be?
Best guess, right? Like sometimes it's hard, and I think you have to adjust your contract and the way you invoice in a way where you can predict what your next month's invoice and billings are going to be. And really what I like is to disassociate that from actual deliverables. It doesn't mean I'm not working, but it does mean this is how my business operates, and this is how we invoice. And that kind of helps in future conversations. Well, why are you going to invoice me when you haven't done that much work? And that's because now that's already off the table, right? Like this is how we engage each other from a business to a customer. As a service, this is the way I operate. And you know, it's this or you can go somewhere else. But this way it really allows me to forecast. I can see a year to 2 years out of what my monthly billings are going to be, which really takes a lot of the pressure off, and I can really just focus on design and providing a good service.
Yeah, just a few weeks back, maybe a month back, I had a Blair Enns, the author of Pricing Creativity and the Win Without Pitching Manifesto. And he talks about value-based pricing, which is exactly what you're talking about. Take the hourly pricing away and the percentage-based pricing away. Take the pricing away from the deliverables, and you base the price on the value of what you're bringing to your client. And so, and you could base it on all those percentages and whatever you want. But what you're presenting to a client is that you're going to provide this result, and this is the cost for that result. And all of the stuff that goes along with that doesn't matter to the client. What matters to the client is that they're going to get the result, and this is what that result costs. So there's value to that result, and here's the cost for that value. And then once you have that set up that way, and what Robert's saying is now you have that big lump of money that you're going to get paid, break that up into phases, and then break that up into monthly billing. And that's the importance of tracking your time and tracking your projects, so you can see and you can start predicting how long these phases really do take. If you don't track your time and track your progress and the amount of work that you're providing in that amount of time, you don't know, which is why it's important to track your time and to understand how projects are developed. And so I love that idea and I've been thinking a lot about pricing. I think architects, it's something we all struggle with a lot. About how we should charge for our services. How much should we charge and what structure should we charge? And I really like this idea of value-based pricing.
Yeah, and it just keeps it simple. Like the client knows it's very predictable for them too. Like it's almost like paying rent or anything else. Like as long as we're working, they don't have to figure out, well, this month I'm going to have to pay you more, next month I'm going to pay you less. It's just one price for them consistently throughout that phase. What I do want to say, like, you're not going to get it right the first time. I didn't get it right the first time. It takes experience to understand and better scope work, which is still very important. There's no way you can deliver on a project if you don't know how to scope a project appropriately.
And that takes experience, right?
It does. Like, to be honest, my firm, we've lost money almost our first half of the year until we can kind of get it right and get a really better understanding of how do we actually work, how fast can we provide service, how well can we provide service, and what are market rates that we can actually win, right? Like if we're winning jobs too easy, you should reflect on that. Are you too cheap, or are you just gaining popularity, which is good. But there's a difference, right? If you're too cheap, there's movement. There's wiggle room for you to essentially ask for more fee. And if you're not winning work when you think you should be winning work, then maybe you're too expensive, and you should reevaluate that as well.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of fear in pricing. You know, I think that many of us bill hourly or percentage because mm-hmm. that way we don't have to guess or we don't have to commit to a number, right? And whatever, right. If it's hourly, we get paid for every hour we work. If it's a percentage, we get paid whatever the project costs. You know, if the project gets bigger, we get paid more. If the project gets smaller, we get paid less. So it's right. very easy to do that. It's convenient. And there's no fear in that. And so when you go to a value-based pricing system, there's a fear to that. You know, I've always billed percentage based because it's sort of, mm-hmm. you know, I've felt that it's the most fair process. And that's a whole nother argument. There's a lot of people mm-hmm. who disagree with that. But I think it's fair because it goes up and down with whatever the client chooses to proceed with. You know, they get to approve the project as it goes along. They approve the process and they approve the budget. And then our fee goes along with that fee. Mm-hmm. But I'm really starting to reconsider this after my conversation with Blair and now talking with you, Robert, about pricing and how it makes the cash flow better and the way mm-hmm. the business, because Blair's sort of talking about pricing and the psychology of pricing. I think that's episode 219, if anybody wants to go back and listen to that. But Robert's talking about how do you more effectively plan out your projects and get billed and make sure there's this cash flow coming in. And I like that too. I like that, you know, I can break up my fee and say, okay, I know that in August, I'm going to get this much money because mm-hmm. I have this project, I have this overall fee, and this is how much it's scheduled to bill out in August. That makes my business run smoother. And so that's really important. I love that.
Yeah, it's part of the planning and strategy process. This is like not, you know, you're not even putting pen to paper yet. It's really just thinking about how far do I have to look out? When do I have to really step on the business development process again? And all this helps, right? Like if you can simplify your and make your monthly billables predictable, you can now make really easy decisions, like because you can see out like August I'm fine, December I'm not. You should also know then like it takes me about 3 months to find new leads, to develop new business. So that means I should probably start in October, knowing that I'm going to be low on revenue in December.
Yeah, I'm going to start diving into this value-based pricing a little bit more. I'm inspired by what you're talking about from a business point of view, and I think it makes a lot of sense. I think from the client's point of view, it really is you know, it's what they're looking for too. They want the certainty of a price. You know, I want this result, and this is what I'm going to pay for it.
Right. Because I think there's a psychology when you go hourly and like, well, why did one set of drawings take you you know, four times as long as the other. And then now you're stuck in a position where you have to defend why that process took a little longer, why troubleshooting for that design strategy took a little longer than the other components of the project. And it really puts the architect or the designer in an awkward position. And then there's moments where experience pays off and you do something really fast. But you're only capturing the value of just that few hours when really that's worth, you know, it's worth a lifetime of education, right? A lifetime of experience.
Let's take a quick break to say thank you to our platform sponsors here at Entree Architect, RCAT, FreshBooks, and Gusto. Well, this episode is released on Friday, June 22nd. You know what that means. That means I am in New York City. Are you in New York City this week for AIA Conference on Architecture? If you are, if you're here in New York, come visit our friends at RCAT. And you may just find me there as well. Just look for the big red A at booth 707 at the Javits Center. Grab some coffee this morning with RCAT. They've been serving it up all week. And all throughout the day, their BIM expert, Robert Wagand, will be at the booth explaining their new Revit plugin, BIMINIT. So check it out. Come stop by booth 707 anytime today. to learn more about how RCAT can save you time and money finding product information for all your projects. And like everything RCAT does, completely free. Remember, in the expo, find the big red A, you might find me. And if you're not here at the conference, you can check it out online. You can check out everything RCAT has at entrearchitect.com/RCAT. Go there now. FreshBooks makes it simple to send invoices, post your expenses automatically, track your time for your whole team by project, and get organized with reports, communication, and notifications. And getting started with FreshBooks is ridiculously easy. Most people send their first invoice seconds after starting their free trial. I did exactly that. The same goes for tracking time, managing expenses, collaborating with contractors, and viewing financial reports. It's fast, it's easy, it's life-changing. And if you need help at any time, their free award-winning customer service is just a phone call or an email away. And if you ever have a second thought, don't worry. On top of your free trial, for Entree Architect listeners, you get a free 30-day money-back guarantee. So you don't ever have to worry about choosing FreshBooks. You can give it a try for 30 days. Just visit entrearchitect.com/FreshBooks and then let them know that we sent you by sharing Entree Architect in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's entrearchitect.com/FreshBooks. Check them out to access your free unlimited 30-day trial. Payroll and benefits. I'm just going to let that soak in a little bit. Payroll and benefits. Payroll and benefits. That makes my spine tingle. Payroll and benefits are hard, especially when you're a small business like us. You don't have time to be an expert in things like taxes and regulations, and the old school payroll providers, they just don't get it. They aren't built for the way that we work today. Gusto is making payroll, benefits, and HR easy for small businesses. Modern technology does the heavy lifting, so it's easy for you to get it right. You no longer have to be a big company to get great technology, great benefits, and great service for your team. And to help support the Entree Architect podcast, Gusto is offering our listeners an exclusive limited time deal. Listen up. Sign up today and you'll get 3 months free once you run your first payroll. Just go to entrearchitect.com/gusto. Go check them out at entrearchitect.com/gusto and claim your free 3 months of payroll processing. RCAT, FreshBooks, and Gusto. Please visit our platform sponsors today and thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. When you talk about project planning, I mean, the whole idea of a plan is to look at the end result and then break it down into pieces and plan it and, you know, say this is what's going to happen when and this is how much we're going to get paid for that. And so when you have a large project and you have multiple people working on that project, what's the best way to sort of break down that project into the different roles that we're that we have, the different people working on that project? How do we keep track of all of that?
Yeah, I think like having a good one team culture so that there's a system in team meetings to kind of stay on top of things. Good tools to track deliverables, of course. Great communication tools. I think emails is really dated. No one generally loves to read and write emails anyway. Most of the time, the psychology around emails is very formal. I think what's really important that a lot of new firms are starting to pick up are internal chat communication as a way to just really stay on top of a project, make communication easy. And that really is deformalizing the email format. My team uses Slack. I love Slack. It allows me to break things down to channels. I have topics. And then this is how we can keep each other's, like, you know, what's my software development team and their progress on Monograph and my other software development team and their progress on client work. It really keeps me a really great oversight quickly into every project that's going on.
Yeah, I use Slack as well. I use Slack for many, many different groups that I'm working with. The entire Entree Architect Academy is built, you know, the member forum is built on Slack. I use Slack for my architecture firm, so all the communication is done through Slack. We don't do any email anymore, internally. I use it for my family too. I use it for whenever, you know, my kids and I are doing projects. We organize all our thoughts and our notes and everything in our own family Slack channel. And so I love Slack. I think it's a great tool and it's a great way to communicate. Is there any way to sort of, is dashboard integrated with Slack or do you just use them as two separate tools?
Two separate tools. Me and my team are thinking of ways to build in communication tools because we think that that's a viable component in any type of project delivery. So we are thinking of ways to include like communication features inside of Monograph. I don't want to talk too much because I don't want this to be an advertisement for Monograph. But I can tell you one of our larger ideas for the next 5-year plan is probably to see if we can start building communication tools outside of your firm too. We want to make sure that we make it simple for you to communicate with your consultants. Architecture and the business of building buildings goes beyond just the architect, right? Like it requires not just a team internally, but also like your consultants, your structural engineer, your electrical engineers, your builder. There's quite a lot of players. And I think this is where the promise of Monograph becomes really, really interesting for myself. It's really like, well, can I solve the project delivery in the firm? And then the next problem is, can I solve the problem of communicating that project delivery across all teams?
Yeah, I love that it's so early, you know, because we can sort of help you build it, you know, that if we get into the software, actually I'm using it for one of my projects. It's going to be great to be able to use it and then give you some feedback. And then you can, you know, as it develops and it evolves, it becomes a more refined tool specifically for us who are using it. It's very cool. So I agree. I don't want to dive too deep into it because I don't want people to think that's what we're doing here. But so we talk about time tracking. We talk about budgeting. We talked about communication. What are some other critical pieces of planning out projects effectively?
I think one of the largest things is make sure you have some experience in your scoping projects well. I don't think enough conversation is ever around like scoping work, even before the planning stage, because like if you cannot scope and you scope wrong, it really affects everything. And I really want to make sure to have a really good idea of how long a project takes. Means you do need to have some experience doing those projects and really understanding the scope and timeline, and really to put some effort before the planning and the delivery of a project to really understand, well, how long is this project going to take? Simple tools might be using Gantt charts, right? Like to really understand and visualize work. I think generally as architects, we're all visual professionals. Use visuals, sketch if you don't want to use a digital tool. Use trace and kind of visualize, well, what's your timeline going to be? Use calendars. There's so many ways to kind of visualize the planning process, and I think that helps a lot of other design professionals.
Scoping is one of those things that many people have many different definitions for that. So when you're talking about properly scoping out a project, what do you mean by that?
So, for example, we built a lot of websites. I can easily scope a website for 3 months. I can scope a website for 2 years. It really depends on all the features there and components. A technique that me and my team do with every lead that's somewhat complicated is we go to the whiteboard and we figure out how many things we have to build. What are all the moving pieces? Outside of all the typical ones. So for architecture, I think it's really, really standard that there's always these phases, right? Schematic through CA. I think what gets left out is sometimes the oddities of every project. Like this one has historical, this one has special zoning issues that might take more time. This one might have complications with its existing condition. So really try and wrap your head around that. And that can start to kind of like, well, you know, I initially thought maybe I can do this project in a month, but based now on everything I wrote down, it's probably going to take three times as long.
And
generally, like, so there's three partners. My other two partners are more heavily in the deliverable of work, and where I'm more of the manager. I always ask them how long it takes. They have a better experience of how long it takes. We're also close enough where I tend to just double what they tell me. Like, I think that rule is so arbitrary, but it's been so key to our success at the agency level. Or like my partner, oh, it'll take me 2 months, easy, not a problem. But it will take him 2 months if he did it himself and he's really good and he's really fast. But we have a team and there's communications and things always happen here and there. So at the end of the day, it takes twice as long.
Yeah. And that's comes from experience.
Right.
So scoping is essentially what needs to be done, and how is it going to get done?
Correct.
Right. So you break down the project in terms of, like you said, in terms of architecture, most of us are using phases. What happens in each phase and what actually has to be done in each phase? Mm-hmm. And by being intentional about it, and making it part of your process and part of your systems, that you do look at every project before you even price it. What do you need to deliver? How are you going to deliver it? How long is it going to take? Who's going to do it? And mm-hmm. break that all down and schedule. And that's not necessarily schedule it out by date, but how long do these things take and what has to happen? And by doing that, things like what Robert says, you know, special codes or a special review process or a special detail is going to take more time. And by being intentional about it, you'll see those early on and you'll have a more successful project.
Yeah. From what I've noticed, if you spend a little bit extra time in the beginning of the project, there's less stress throughout. It's more predictable, which is always the goal of mine, is to make things predictable. Because there's always the unpredictable things that are the things that are going to throw you off track. And if you do that, and one of the key things, this is something I've learned, you know, when we first started, is like when I list things, I assume that I'm working on it full time. Like, I assume that I'm going to be working on it 40 hours a week. And this is like, that's how I calculate time. Very quickly, I learned like, well, I should not do that because I know I don't have 40 hours to work on that one project, right? We're running businesses. We have multiple projects going. It's unrealistic for me to say I can spend 40 hours a week for 3 months on this phase, because that's not possible. So then you have to understand, well, is this one person in this phase? Is this a team in this phase? How many hours can I contribute? What's the realistic achievable time, you know, to accomplish that task? So when you're scoping, I think it's all about granular, right? You go from high level phase based, high level tasks, to then actionable deliverable things, to down to like, well, how big is my team to actually produce those results?
Yeah, and that takes us back to time tracking, which is why time tracking is so important, not only for your team but for yourself.
Yeah.
Because you can't do that without time tracking.
You can't. Like, you just don't know, you know, you don't know for that project, are you making $2 an hour or are you making $300 an hour? Like, there's no way. There's no way for you to be like, well, if I am making $300, there's definitely room for me to like spread and build a team and make the process a little bit more manageable, right? Like, if you're working too many hours but your billable rate's super high, then theoretically you can bring on a teammate and lower your personal billable hour, but it de-stresses and makes sure that the project is delivered on time.
Yeah, that's some good advice. Before we wrap up, is there anything else that people should be thinking about when they're planning out their projects, or did we catch them all?
No, I think planning is such a big topic. We can probably talk all day. There's so many, so many micro topics with inside. I think the only words of advice is to don't take it lightly. Good planning leads to good projects and leads to you not, you know, leads to architects breaking out of the stigma of us working 80 hours a week. And that's really just due to like the lack of, you know, it's just poor planning. There's no reason why as a human being, we should be working 40, 80 hours plus a week to do the work in our profession.
Yeah, I would venture to guess that most of the people listening to us right now don't plan out their projects. So I'm talking to you who are listening right now. Do you plan out your projects? Because I think if you do, you'll be more successful. If you go through the process of breaking down the process of each project that you do and writing it down and putting it in some format, whether you use a digital tool or you put it in a sketchbook, actually go through the process of planning out the next project and see how much more successful it is. So, Robert, thank you very much for joining us. Before we go, I want to ask you the one final question that I ask everybody that comes on the show. What is one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
Well, we talked a lot about planning, so let me flip the script a bit and I'm gonna just say automation. Automation would help any small business, and there's a lot of tools out there to help with that. I'll just leave you with this. I love Zapier. Zapier is a little tool that connects to other tools, which is great. Meaning, like if something happens, I can easily make something else happen, and that will take a lot of the stress in terms of just too many tiny manual tasks that every principal has to go through.
Yeah, Zapier is a great tool. I use Zapier for both my firm and Entree Architect. That's a great tool for architects, especially sole practitioners and small firms, to go check that out because that will make you more efficient. Things will automatically happen. When you trigger one thing, it'll go through a whole process, and you can design these triggers to work the way you want them to. So that's great advice. So yeah. Robert, on the web, it's monograph.io. So anybody who wants to go see what's going on over at Monograph or see what Dashboard is all about, monograph.io. All over social media, it's Monograph. So they can just go search Monograph in any of the social media and you'll find them. Anything else that you want to point out in terms of sharing out in the social media? Anywhere else that you are? Or is that it?
Really easy accessible via email too. You can email me directly at robert@monograph.io.
All right, robert@monograph.io. We'll have all these links in the show notes. Robert, thank you very much for joining us today and for sharing your knowledge here at Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you, Mark.
All righty. So what do you think about that one? What do you think about Robert Yoon's ideas on project planning? Go over to entrearchitect.com/iTunes and go give us a rating and a little bit of a review. I would love to know what you think about this podcast episode and all the others. This is episode 226. You can even share this link with a friend, entrearchitect.com/episode226. Go do that. Go put it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Go share it with a friend through email. Go let them know, because that's how we do this. That's how we're going to do this. That's how we're going to change the world one architect at a time through the Entree Architect Podcast with you and your help. Go do it right now. And while you're at it, go visit ArcaSpeak Podcast and Inside the Firm Podcast. While you're over there at iTunes, go subscribe to those two podcasts as well. You won't regret it. Two very, very good architecture-based podcasts, ArcaSpeak Podcast and Inside the Firm Podcast. Did you hear that Alex Gore from Inside the Firm Podcast recently launched a new digital course that teaches you how to get up and running on Revit fast and easy? It's the course that we've all been waiting for. It's the course that we've been looking for. Those of us who are currently running AutoCAD and want to move to BIM, and this is it. Now's your chance. Alex recorded about 40 short tutorial videos. They're about 40, give or take, sort of short little tutorials walking us step by step, holding our hand on how to set up families, how to set up sheets, how to get started using Revit for our own projects fast. The course is called Revit Rocket Ship, which I love, Revit Rocket Ship. And you can learn more, you can sign up, and you can support Entree Architect all at the same time by using our affiliate link, entrearchitect.com/Revit. pretty easy to remember. Go check out Revit Rocket Ship at entrearchitect.com/Revit. And when you sign up, they'll throw us a little bonus and we can continue doing what we're doing. So thank you, Alex, for supporting Entree Architect and the Entree Architect podcast. And thank you guys for going to check out Revit Rocket Ship at entrearchitect.com/Revit. The Entree Architect community on Facebook. It is the most interactive, most supportive, most encouraging, most positive place on the internet for small firms. Come join us. It's free over at Facebook. It is awesome. entrearchitect.com/group. And don't forget to learn how to earn that elusive 20% profit. We can do it. We can do it together. Download the free course, Profit for Small Firm Architects, at entrearchitect.com/free course. That course is free and it will teach you everything you need to know about how to set up a financial system for your firm and earn that 20% profit. entrearchitect.com/free course. My name is Mark Arlepage and I am an entrepreneur architect. And I encourage you, I beg you to go build a better business so you can be a better architect. Because when you build a better business, the whole profession gets better. That's why I want you to go do that. Not only for you and your family and your friends and your firm, but for all of us. Because when we go build a better firm, each one of us builds a better firm, the profession thrives. So go do it. Love, learn, share what you know. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark Arlepage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.